Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you know, I have to keep my guard up just in case. Ladies and gentlemen, as we bring in the great Dr. Ronald Sinagra, of course, Sunrise, the Sable based Sunrise Wellness Center of Long Island, right off the Sunrise Highway Service Road for Lakeland Avenue. The great Sunrise Wellness Center. You can call and get a free consultation with a good man at 631-563-1444. And, of course, Sunrise Wellness Center, LI.com. Check it all out on the website. The aforementioned Ronald Sinagra. And we say a very good morning to you, sir.
You brought back the... You didn't tell me I had to put the gloves on today.
Well, you know, I always have them handy when you're on. I keep them, you know, right on the console. But, you know, you never know. You got to be ready. You know that.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
I am doing just fine, my friend. How you feeling?
I'm good. I wanted to do a little history lesson today, if that's okay with you.
Okay. I am ready to be educated.
Well, I think we're living in very dangerous and polarizing times. We as a nation, in this is my opinion, we've lost the ability to debate issues without attacking the other person. You know, we see it all the time. You're not for gay marriage, that means you're a homophobe. You're not for open borders, you're a racist. The list is never ending. It's that whole cancel culture nonsense. And dialogue and civil debate are required for society to function and for a healthy society. And we're actually living right now with the pandemic. People don't realize that this is a 150-year-old debate on disease and illness and what causes it. And most people have no clue about that. You know, along the lines of that cancel culture, we've come up with this term anti-vaxxer. And many would consider me that. But I wanted to explain a little bit and give a different opinion so someone who's listening to your show can say, wait a minute. Let me understand how these people really think instead of that demonizing label. When we do that, we just negate that other person's opinion. And I have to say that 99% of the people I know who are considered anti-vaxxers don't want to stop you from vaccinating. And, you know, that's the big difference. If someone's anti something, if you're anti-abortion, let's say, you want to stop abortion. Anti-vaxxers don't care if you vaccinate. They want the ability to choose themselves. And I think that it's a false term, and I think it's very, very damaging and demeaning, because it's also been associated with ignorance. You know, all these people go on the internet. They heard Mary from Comac say that vaccines were dangerous, and that's why they don't want to vaccinate. And I don't think that's the furthest from the truth. This debate of illness and infection and disease goes back to Louis Pasteur. And 150 years ago, Louis Pasteur, I guess 1859 was the year, he discovered microorganisms, and he came up with the germ theory of disease, him along with Robert Koch and others. But right from the start, there was the germ theory versus the host theory. And was it the germ that caused the illness, or was it the health of the host? And it's funny, because anyone who's studied this like I have, or anyone in the health field, we see this debate replay. And for people that were born in 1970 and they have no concept of that this debate goes way back. I want to use some historical context so people can understand that people who don't necessarily vaccinate or have a different viewpoint on the causes of infectious disease are not loons. They're not lunatic fringe. Claude Bernard was a French physiologist, and he was a contemporary of Louis Pasteur. And he won like three prizes in physiology from the Academia de Sciences. I can't say it in that French the way they pronounce it. But, you know, big three-time award winner back in his day. And he stated this, that illnesses hover constantly above us. They're seeds blown by the wind, but they do not set in the terrain unless the terrain is ready to receive them. The terrain being the body and its resistance to disease. So it goes way back to the very origins of the foundations of the germ theory. There were other contemporaries that supported the host theory. And many people don't realize that this is a debate. It's the germ theory of disease is a theory because it can't be proven. And a simple example is if you've ever had the flu and your wife never didn't catch it from you, well, there goes the germ theory. There's many people, and in chiropractic, the founder of chiropractic said if the germ theory of disease was true, there'd be nobody alive to believe it. So the host factor versus the germ theory has been a long-standing debate. And I found a guy by the name of Dennis Jaffe. He wrote a book in the 90s called Healing from Within. And he makes this observation. Of course, disease-producing microorganisms are always present, but usually they can be fought off successfully. However, some individuals never get sick, while others pick up every cold in the neighborhood. So although the germ may be one of the contributing causes, it alone is not sufficient to produce illness. It goes back to the very beginnings, Jay. There is this debate of, is it your immune response or is it the germ? And it's funny because I don't think people understand that we accept the germ theory as sacred law. And it's not, and it's a way of looking at life. And if you don't follow the germ theory, it completely changes how you look at illness and disease. To continue with history, which I just love because when I read this stuff, I find it just fascinating. But there was a man by the name of Rudolf Virchow. He was a German pathologist, another contemporary of Pasteur. He's considered the father of modern pathology. And he stated this, if I could live my life over again, I would devote it to proving that germs seek their natural habitat, diseased tissue, rather than being the cause of diseased tissue. Example, mosquitoes seek the stagnant water, but they do not cause the pool to become stagnant. I love that. That explains it, that germs will always seek weakness. They're opportunistic, and that the health of the individual is paramount in preventing disease. Again, this little simple switch in philosophy, a little simple difference in understanding completely changes your outlook on prevention and how you live your life. I think it really demonstrates the concept of the host factor of infection. But,
when you talk about
the history, sometimes people say, you're going back 100 years. So I want to use this quote from Andrew Weil. I don't know if you remember him. He's a medical doctor. He wrote books like Health and Healing. He was always on Oprah. He had a big beard. Really, real nice guy. And this is what he had to say. Agents of disease are all around us, not only in the form of viruses, bacteria, parasites, but as a multitude of potential irritants such as carcinogenic chemicals, allergens, insects, toxic plants, and so forth. A healthy person can often interact with these agents and not get sick. Since internal factors determine the nature of our relationships with them, the true causes of disease are internal. Forgive me if I repeat myself. This point must be stressed. External, material objects are never causes of disease, merely agents waiting to cause specific symptoms in susceptible hosts. This principle suggests other ways of thinking about prevention and treatment than those predominant in conventional medicine. Rather than wearing on disease agents with the hope, in vain I suspect, of eliminating them, we ought to worry more about strengthening our resistance to them and learning to live in balance with them more of the time. I think that that says everything. So my point today of bringing up history.
Let me just interject here.
Sure.
Because, listen, I understand everything you're saying. But, you know, I think what we're losing sight of in this whole dissertation here is the fact that we're in a pandemic. You know, we're in a global pandemic. It is not the flu, okay? It is not the flu. It's deadlier. And that's why I think, you know, part of the problem here, part of the problem regarding skeptics and everything else, there's a lot of misinformation out there. People have been bombarded with pro-vaccine messaging.
Point.
Tone of message really matters a lot here. Tone of message really matters a lot. But really, you know, the top reasons why people don't get the jabs, there are a lot of concerns about side effects, newness of the vaccine, distrust in government, all in play. I understand what you're saying, taking care of your body, very important, diet, nutrition, supplementation, I get it. But let's not cover up the fact that we have lost more people in this country. You go back to the days of Spanish flu. Remember Spanish flu and reading about it? 1919. We've lost as many during this ordeal, and we have matched now numbers that have gone back 100 years. So in that nature, this is why you have to take this very, very seriously.
Yeah,
healthy, compromised individuals, very, very seriously as far as what is out there presently. And the fact of the matter is, folks, we are in a pandemic. So I understand what you're saying.
No one listening to you doesn't know. You're missing the concepts of what I'm talking about. We're talking about the causes of disease. Is it the microbe or is it the health of the individual? And my point of talking about this was because due to cancel culture, we're labeling people that don't want to vaccinate as crazy loons. But this debate goes back 150 years ago. And if you're like me, and you prescribe to the host theory of disease, you know the most important factor is your immune response and overall health. And we saw it through the pandemic. The people that died the most were people with comorbidities, poor health. So again, I'm not saying the vaccine is bad, and I'll get to that. But what I'm trying to say is that the people that don't necessarily think that their life is going to end because of they don't have a vaccine is not rooted in pseudoscience. This goes back 150 years. And many people don't realize that the germ theory's never been proven, it can't be proven, and that there's people that don't prescribe to that. And I should be allowed to have that opinion without being labeled something that's derogatory and demeaning as an anti-vaxxer, like we're some kind of lunatic fringe. It's not that at all. The people that understand this concept, if you understand the host fact, and that's where I wanted to get, you know, when you reject the germ theory, you don't reject germs and hygiene. You reject the fact that that's the primary importance of staying well, is avoidance of a germ. And that, to us, is completely ridiculous. People that reject the germ theory respect germs so much that they work very hard at living a healthy life, that keeping their immune system strong, having a good nutritional diet and exercise and a healthy lifestyle. So
all to the COVID virus is what I'm saying. I understand what you're saying. You know,
yeah,
clean living, keeping healthy, all you can do. But listen, we all want
to
do that, but we are all susceptible to what's out there right now.
No, we're not all susceptible, or we'd all have it. 99% of the people got it, survived. I've been trying to explain this. The most fascinating thing about COVID is not who died or the numbers of people who died. It's the
right
number
now
of
in the
people
hospitals
who got
across the
it and
country.
Survived. That's how we look at this. 99% of the people exposed to COVID survived. How did
explain,
they survive?
Doc, listen to me. How do you explain the children across this country in hospital beds right now?
I don't believe
who have gotten COVID. How do you explain the fact that kids are getting this right now?
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
I understand.
You don't believe it?
But
so you think it's a made up number from
that, but
American Pediatrics and everything else? You want me to cite sources?
No, but why are you making?
How do you not believe it? You are a physician. How do you not believe that kids are in the hospital right now? Because remember in the beginning, it was, hey, kids, you know what? Kids can't get it. Now that you got this other strain out there, this mutation, and the variant and everything else, now you have kids in hospitals across this country. That's a fact.
But
That's not a made-up thing.
Can you rise above? Can you rise above to a philosophical discussion instead of jumping back into the cesspool of this and start throwing out these stats about these? This goes back to understanding.
I'm not making up stuff, and I'm about listening to the numbers out there, the data. I'm about listening to a little bit of the science. You know, I kind of talk to a lot of experts and everything else. Both sides of the aisle, I make a determination based on the actual information, okay? I'm not, you know, conjuring up stuff here. I mean,
I never said you were conjuring up things. But to truly understand illness and disease, you have to get to a philosophical discussion. And you can't, we're talking about trying to understand the difference between the germ theory and people that follow that, like yourself, and people that follow the host theory, that are more concerned about their own immune response than microbes. And I've tried to explain that this goes back to the very origins of the germ theory, and I just gave you a beautiful set of quotes from contemporary MDs who feel the same. So it's not one or the other. It's a different approach. And my point today was, it's very disturbing when I hear people say anti-vaxxers. What part of lunacy was everything I just said? All those historical quotes that I just gave show and demonstrate that people have a different viewpoint of what gets
what you said is there's nothing wrong with what you said. But you know something? This isn't rocket science. My goodness, you know, to decipher and analyze and everything else. I mean, we've got a pandemic. We are president. And the fact of the matter is we have medicine to protect us. Okay?
That's what it's all about to me.
You could be healthy.
That's what you choose.
And you could
still according to my philosophy.
I've known healthy people who have gotten this thing. I've known healthy people who have been very sick. I've known
healthy people who have...
What's that?
How do you know they're healthy? Because they're symptom-free?
I know them. I have family members who are healthy and got this damn thing.
But wait a minute. Whoa.
What's their vitamin D level? Quite healthy.
What's their vitamin A level? What's their nutritional status? What's their immune response? What's their T cell count? You don't know that. The day before somebody drops of a heart attack, he had no symptoms.
Doc,
being symptom free doesn't mean you're healthy.
Let's not complicate this with Albert Einstein's theory of relativity here. Okay.
I'm not trying to complicate it. I want to give the perspective to the listeners of the station, my opinion, which is not your opinion. It's just not Long Island News Radio's opinion. But I want them to understand that people who say or have been labeled anti-vaxxers are not these lunatic fringe people, that this debate is 150 years old. Now, you must understand, if you follow the host theory of illness, you don't fear the microbe as much as you worry about your own immune response. The germ theory puts the microbe at the top of the pyramid. The host theory puts your health at the top of the pyramid. And I just gave you a prime example. When we were at 250,000 deaths, the CDC came out and said that less than 10,000 people died from COVID alone. a minuscule amount of people. The other
how many people? How many people? What's the number right now? What's the number of the? Of
I don't know, but
I think it's
I don't
about 600.
Get into the numbers. I'm
think
trying
it's
to show you that
675,000. I think that's the number that we lost over 100 years ago in the Spanish flu deal. So,
okay, so
in
let's stop right there. Let's go back to the Spanish flu and that nonsense. Who do you think the ultimate master of disease is? You'd probably say vaccinations and antibiotics, and nothing could be further from the truth. The real master of illness in terms of the thing that really changed us was the big four: a clean water supply, garbage removal, sewers, and proper food distribution. Those are the four sanitation things that are required to prevent the spread of illness, which we did not have in 1917 and 18. Look at the pictures of Manhattan in the slums and the tenements and the people living in squalor, dumping their chamber pots in the street. They had no heat. They had no refrigeration. So to bring up the flu of 1918 is pure ignorance. Not on you. I don't mean ignorant as an ignorant person, but you can't compare the two. You can't compare that. Vaccines have taken credit where credit is not due. I got a chart that shows from 1880 to 1970, and it shows you polio, measles, let me see where's and it, when you look at the chart,
trying to correlate the number of where we are at presently and where we lost people as far as the Spanish flu is concerned over 100 years ago. That's
no,
the only thing I'm trying to highlight.
Pretty,
listen,
which is typical for you. You
we're
just like to yell
way
at me.
Too much into this thing. Way too much.
No, I'm listen, not looking. With
I'm not about. Doing. I'm not about mocking the skeptics out there because it's been handled terribly. Okay, even this administration has been doing a lousy job as far as the vaccine is concerned. You know, let's never forget our past president. Okay, with warp speed and everything else, put this vaccine in play. How it's being handled, how the information is being put out there is a disgrace, okay? That's why you have a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of politicizing this. It shouldn't be. To me, it's about misinformation. It will not convince folks who are on the fence to get the shot. I mean, that is the problem right now, and that's what it is. You know, the inclination should be to show others that we care about them, not to win an argument here.
Trying
not
to force the vaccine on people is never going to help. That raises more suspicion about it. And look, vaccines are helpful. I get it. If you choose them. But you got to understand, I wanted this whole topic not to get into the mud. I wanted to show people who are labeled anti-vaxxers are actually deeply entrenched in this debate for 150 years. And we don't look at the germ as something to fear as much as we care about our own immune response. And I gave you consistent...
Because of the politicizing of it. More so now than ever. So I don't fully concur with what you're saying as far as the thinking is concerned. Because of the social media and everything else out there right now for people to view, that's why you have so much dissension when it comes to this stuff. It's a different game than what you're saying right now. And it's a game in which we're playing with lives here. Okay? We're playing with people's lives. And that's really what it is. Listen, the fact is that healthy people can get this thing. Healthy people can get very sick. I understand about levels and vitamin A and zinc. Okay? Great. I understand that. That improves your immune and everything else. You talk about it. You're the only guy that talks about it in the media. I tell people that all the time. But the fact of the matter is we have a deadly virus out there that is not going away anytime soon. Okay? That is a fact. And that's why you got to be on your guard here. I don't care how healthy you are. I've known a lot of people who are very healthy, Doc, who have gotten this damn thing. And have gotten very sick.
I understand that. But my point today was for people who choose not to vaccinate, that this debate is deep and it's complex and it goes back 150 years. And because people like myself that choose not to vaccinate doesn't mean we're ignoring a germ, doesn't mean we're ignorant to infection. It doesn't mean any of that. It means that we feel the most important thing is our own health, not a vaccination. Now, you think that people can't survive without a vaccine. I beg to differ dramatically. I think a vaccine can help. I think it should be your choice. I think if you want to get a vaccine, mazel tov, congratulations, go for it. But for people like myself that don't look at the microbe as the number one cause of disease, I'm going to say no. For me, keeping my immune response is the most important thing. Having a good nutritional status, taking supplementation, all these things, exercise, sleep,
listen to me.
Clean air.
You could have the healthiest immune system on the planet. That does not mean it is 100% safe as far as warding off this virus, okay? Doesn't mean that. Okay, you're going to have the greatest levels on the planet of all that you have talked about. You can still get this virus.
Yeah, of course you can still get it. You're going to survive.
And you could get very, very ill from it. And who knows what happens from there. That's why you got to take this thing so seriously.
How do you ignore the fact that 99% of the people before the vaccine survived this? And you're trying to tell me that we should run around like the sky's falling because of this? When we just live through 99% of
you
getting
children
and fighting
children
it all.
Are in the hospitals. Remember we talked about kids? Kids can't get it. Guess what? Kids are getting the variant. How do you explain that? How do you explain the fact that kids are in hospital beds right now across the country?
I don't have to explain it. I don't have to explain it. I'm just going to tell you that I'm still not going to, you know, that
you don't believe that
is an option.
But you don't believe that kids are in the hospitals.
Many people
right
don't
now.
Believe that.
Insane. Kids are in the hospitals across this country.
Do you know how
do you explain that
statement is? I mean, come on.
How do you explain that?
Get it.
You're not answering my question. How do you explain the fact that kids right now are in hospital beds across the country? How do you explain
it? I understand
it. Because kids were thought of as never having you never had to think of a kid as a problem as far as this virus. Remember? They were kind of a sector of the population you don't have to worry about. Healthy people, kids. How do you explain the fact kids are in hospital beds right now?
I don't have to explain it. It's not my job to explain that. My job is to explain that I still think that the most important thing is the health of the person, not a vaccine. And that's where people who are considered anti-vaxxers came. And I just gave you a whole historical perspective of other people, other medical doctors, prominent world-known historians that don't buy the germ theory, that don't make it feet, who are not running around like the sky's falling because there's a germ.
Hats off to Louis Pasteur and company, okay? Right now, I'm thinking presently here, 2021 and a pandemic that has killed 675,000 Americans.
Oh, my God.
Okay? We can't listen. You can't eradicate that, right?
You can't eradicate that. Your last name from Oliver to J. Pfizer. I think you work for the vaccine companies.
Yeah, I'm profiting as we speak. Listen, always a pleasure. We'll talk later on today. How's that?
You did good with the gloves today, my friend.
Hey, listen, that's why I have them handy. The only problem, very hard to put them on yourself, though. You know, you got to use your mouth and everything. Listen. Always a pleasure. You know I love you.
Good debate, my friend, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to give a different opinion. I appreciate
it. Absolutely.
That.